Well, good evening to all of you again. Let's take our Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. While you are doing that, just a couple of brief words to all of you who are here. I love Christ Fellowship Bible Church so much because it really is like a family. We are like a family. There are so many younger ones. There are older ones. There's married. There's singles. It's a family. We're a family here. And we have the wonderful opportunity to worship God together, for the young ones to learn how to worship even from the youngest age as they watch mom and dad and as they look around and see the family of believers singing and with their Bible open on their lap. And so I am so thankful that all of you are here tonight. And I do also want to let all the children, the boys and girls, as you're here tonight, I have a lot in my message tonight that I want to direct to you as well. So I want you to listen up. Some of the words that I will say and the stories that I will say, I will try to get your ears to perk up in the sermon so that you can hear God's word preached. I wish it was true, as the prayer was already mentioned, that next week we'll deal with the husbands. We will get to the husbands, but not next week. It might be a couple of weeks, but that's okay. We'll spend more time with the husbands than we do with the wives. But that's okay. Here we are tonight in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. One more brief announcement. We could not get the live stream to work on the YouTube channel. So if you get a phone call or a text tonight from somebody in the church saying, hey, I couldn't figure it out, thankfully we were able to live stream it on Facebook on my personal webpage. So we'll try to email that link out tomorrow. So just for your information, the sermon will be put on the website as usual, but the entire service is on the Facebook link that we'll try to email out tomorrow. So sorry for those that tried to tune into the YouTube, but we couldn't get that to work. That's okay. The Lord is still on the throne, isn't he? Amen. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. Follow with me as I read God's word, and then we'll study it together. Here's the word of the living God. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The story is told of a teacher of a second and third grade class who walked into her classroom, and these young girls were in a corner, kind of gathered together, and they were giggling. And they were talking. And they were obviously excited among themselves. And the teacher smiled, and she went to this group of second and third grade girls, and she said, "Girls, what are you laughing about?" And they all kind of looked at each other, sort of wondering who's going to share. And finally, one little girl stepped forward, and with great courage, she lifted up her voice and she said, "We all can't wait until we are 17 years old." And the teacher said, "Well, why is that?" You know, maybe thinking that the girls might say, "Well, maybe then we'd be old enough to date a boy or wear makeup or prepare to go to college or something like that." But that wasn't the answer. The little girl said, "Because when we are 17 years old, nobody will tell us what to do anymore." And the teacher sat down and she gathered these little girls together, and with great love and tenderness and quietness in her voice, she said, "I have some news for you. I'm about 40 years old and I still have people telling me what to do in my life." And that's, she said, "That's not a bad thing," the teacher said. "That's a really good thing. It's part of God's plan. It's part of God's design For every person, God has designed all of us to live under authority. But today, in particular, God has a message for the Christian wives. And ladies, what God wants you to learn is the glorious honor, the high privilege, and the divine design for wives to live in joyful, biblical submission to their husbands. Now, maybe it'd be good for us just to kind of take a step back and just kind of examine big picture, just some principles about marriage, because you don't need to look long and hard and far to find that marriage is in absolute confusion in our day. And young people, I want you to hear this very, very clearly as I give you a couple of very simple points from God about marriage. You have this in your outline, I think. I forget what I copied and pasted, so I think it's there. Number one, marriage is monogamous. That means it is for one man and one woman alone. It's a monogamous relationship for one man and one woman. Second of all, marriage in God's design is heterosexual. That is to say, it is for a man and a woman. It is a husband and a wife. Not two women, not two men, not two dads, not two moms. That is not marriage. Whatever the world might tell you, it's not marriage. Marriage is always heterosexual, one man and one woman. Third, marriage is divinely given. It's given by God. I think of the words of Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 6. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Marriage is a divinely given institution. God thought of marriage. God designed marriage. God created marriage in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. Next, fourth, marriage is permanent. The design of God was for marriage to be permanent. God says in Malachi 2, I hate divorce. In Ephesians 5, marriage is a picture of the gospel. And the relationship of Christ and the church will never be severed. And so the design of God is for marriage to be a permanent union for life. And then finally here, number six, marriage is mysterious. That does not mean you can't figure it out. What it means is that it's like a billboard. It's like a sign that points you to something bigger, something greater, something more lasting, something that will go on forever. And that is the marriage of Jesus with his bride, the church. So maybe to summarize all of that for all of us here, just a simple reminder about marriage. And children, boys and girls, hear this. Marriage is to be the primary relationship in the life of a husband and wife. It is to be an exclusive relationship with no other intruders, but only the husband and the wife. And God's design is it to be a permanent relationship as well. It's just an encouragement for you who are married here tonight. Let me remind you that your purpose in marriage is the glory of God. It's not just the happiness of my day-to-day life, although serving and glorifying God does bring great joy. And it does bring great happiness. But the great purpose of marriage is the glory of God. It's to make much of God. Second of all, your hope in marriage must be the gospel of grace. We live in a day where many don't understand that. That's why there are so many marriages that end. They fall out of love. They don't like each other anymore. They get sick of each other. Financial hardship. Whatever the problem might be, they don't have the hope of the gospel. And the hope of the gospel includes true love. It includes forgiveness. It includes grace, power and strength and wisdom from God. And insofar as that is our hope, a marriage will thrive and a marriage will be God glorifying. Third, your home as a marriage should be the local church. I am startled by the many books on my shelf, the good books on my shelf that deal with marriage that don't talk about the involvement in the local church. But if there's anything that a new husband and wife needs, it's the family of God, the church family. So when I encourage young couples in premarital counseling or postmarital counseling, are you involved in a local church? Are you members of a solid local church? Are you serving in a committed local church? Because the local church is the home for Christian marriage. God never designed marriage to be done on your own. We need older and wiser and godly accountability in the context of the church. And then fourth here, just to married couples, your power to do this, all that God is going to call you to do must be the filling of the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to preach tonight and in coming weeks to wives and husbands and children and parents and workers, you can't do this on your own. You're going to get burned out thinking, I can't do this. But Christian, you can. You can, as you are filled and controlled by God, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a sermon tonight for everyone here, not just for the ladies, not just for the married ladies, but this is a sermon, believe it or not, for everyone here. A Christian wife, certainly God tonight in our text is going to call you to submit to your husband. Christian husband here tonight, God is going to say in our text that you are the head of your home. That you are the leader. You are the authority of the home, of the marriage. That's God's design. Christian church, every believer, whether you're married or not, young or old, Christian church, God says that you are to submit to Jesus Christ because he's the leader of the church. So whatever position of life you might be in, this is a sermon for everyone here. I was telling my young girls even earlier today, I want you to listen, young girls, because this is what God wants you to be when you grow up and, by God's grace, you get married one day. Young men who are here, single men in this room, look for this kind of woman to marry. Don't neglect what we're talking about. Don't ignore what God says. Young boys and young men, listen tonight so that one day when you're older, you want to look for this kind of woman to be your wife. So tonight, you see in your Bible, look at Ephesians 5, verse 22. Paul is now talking to the wives and he's going to tell the wife to submit to her own husband. Let me give you a couple thoughts on this. There's a lot of misunderstanding, no doubt, and I know that you're well taught and you've read this before. You understand it, but let me remind you of a few things. Number one, submission, it needs to be taught. It doesn't come naturally. Okay? It doesn't just come innately to women when they get married. It doesn't come certainly by surfing Twitter or Facebook or the movies. No, we must teach the young women, Titus 2, to submit to their husbands. Second of all, submission is commanded of the Lord to all wives. If you're married, every Christian wife is called by God to submit to her own husband. Third, submission is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. This is not a bad thing. I'm going to say more on that. But submission is an act of worship to the Lord, according to Ephesians 5:22. Next, submission is God's beautiful design. But get this, it's modeled by Christ. It's modeled by Christ. So far from being a bad thing, submission is a glorious thing. It's God's beautiful design, and it's perfectly modeled by Christ, who submitted himself to the Father in all things. Submission, next, must occur even to an unbelieving husband. Even if there is a Christian wife who is married to a non-believer. Even in that situation, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 6, makes very clear that that Christian wife must still submit to that unbelieving husband. Next, submission must sparkle. It must glisten with internal heart beauty. With internal heart beauty. A soft, a gentle, a quiet spirit. This is what gives submission its radiating beauty, its sparkle, internal heart beauty. And I think one more that's very helpful. Submission is not weakness. It's actually God-glorifying strength and dignity, according to Proverbs chapter 31. So as we begin our time tonight in Ephesians 5:22, we'll get into the text here in a moment. But just to remind you, where we are in Ephesians 5 comes after Ephesians 1-3. Right? Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3 is about God's call. And now we are talking about your conduct in chapter 5. You cannot live out your godly conduct if you've not been called by the Lord. Chapters 1 to 3 was about your position in Christ. Now in chapter 5 is about your practice in Christ. If you don't have a position in Christ by faith alone, then you're certainly not going to be able to live out the practice in the life that you are called to live. And now in chapter 5, we looked a few weeks ago at verses 15 to 17 on being wise and being understanding and living knowledgeably in this life and being filled with the Spirit of God, being controlled by the Spirit. And interestingly enough, that Spirit-filled life sort of opens the door for family matters. Now, in Ephesians 5:22, all the way to Ephesians 6 and verse 9, we have what many theologians, all the way back, the Germans in the 1500s, called this the household code. The household code. And that's nothing new. You understand that. It's in Ephesians. It's in Colossians. It's in 1 Peter. It's in 1 Timothy. It's all over the New Testament. The book of Titus gives these household codes and how believers are to live. You think, why do we have the household code? Why not just say, live out your Christian life, walk in a way that is pleasing to God? Why all the details? And listen carefully, to show how Spirit-filled believers are to live every realm of life for the glory of God, even within the household. Even in the household, even the husband and the wife and the child and the parent, even in the workplace, according to Titus chapter 2, we don't want the word of God to be dishonored. We don't want opponents, non-believers, to say anything bad about us in the gospel. We want to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. So the household code is there so that the world will see that this true Christianity really does affect everything in our lives. Everything. Everything. Even from the home. Even in the household. So tonight we come to Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24, where God is going to shepherd the wives. God is going to shepherd the wives along. And God is going to call you, Christian wife, to two main headings. We'll see how far we get in the first, and then eventually we'll get to the second. But here's the first heading tonight. Be wholeheartedly submissive. The second heading that we will get to is to be selflessly reverent. To be selflessly reverent. So the two main ways that God is going to shepherd the Christian wife right here in Ephesians 5 is He teaches you, Christian wife, number one, to be wholeheartedly submissive, and then number two, to be selflessly reverent. So follow with me as we look at being wholeheartedly submissive in your notes in verses 22 to 24. Look at how Paul begins in verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Let me just pause right there and just say submission is about worship. It's about worship. Your submission is fitting in the Lord. It's right in the Lord. In marriage, specifically, submission, Christian wife, submission is the way that God sharpens women to become more like Christ. Far from what the feminists would tell us, that submission is a bad thing or a harmful thing or a shameful thing. Listen to this. It is an incredibly beautiful and a wise design of God. And the greatest example is Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 6, verse 38, I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of my Father. Talk about a heart of submission. I've not come to do what I want to do, but I'm here to do the will of my Father. Later on, Jesus said this, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me in John 14, 31. I follow Him. I obey Him. I submit to my Father. John 14, whatever the Father says, that is what I will do. No one was more wholeheartedly submissive than Jesus. No one was more obedient than Jesus. This is an honorable call. So far from what the world and the feminists might say that this is bad and demeaning and shameful and nobody does that anymore. This is honorable. This is high. This is good. This is noble. This is blessed. Submission is not about your importance. It is about your role. It's about your function. We're not talking about are men and women equal. That's not the conversation that we're having. That's not what God says right here in our text. Of course, men and women are made equal in the image of God. Of course. But what God is talking about in submission is about your role, your function, your design in the relationship. So that's why we can say that submission is not cultural. It's biblical. It's not a response to our worst, but it's the reflection of God's best. This is not a temporary condition. It's timeless. In fact, we might say that God's word in the Bible about submission is not confusing. It's very clear and very spelled out. This week, my wife and I were at a wedding and we were slow dancing together and having fun on the dance floor with some others. And I was reminded as I was preparing for this, that what we're talking about tonight is like a slow dance. It's like a slow dance where one person will lead and another person follows. One initiates and the other responds. Both need to happen for things to work out well. Both need to fulfill their role for the slow dance to go beautifully. When it happens, it's a beautiful sight to behold. But when both people try to take the lead, well, the slow dance is going to become a disaster pretty quickly, even publicly as well. And that's what we're talking about. One leading and one following. It's about role and function. So in your outline, you have sort of this main point that you have. Number one, God's call for you, Christian wife, is to be wholeheartedly submissive, to be subject, to be submissive. What I want to do this evening is see how far we get with those sub points and talk about what submission is. So letter A in your outline, let's begin with the text right here in verse 22. What does it mean to be submissive? Because in verse 22, you see it in your Bible, wives, be subject or be submissive to your own husbands. Here's the definition of submission. It is a heart-sourced and a deliberate placing oneself under the authority that God has put over you. It's the heart-sourced and indeed a deliberate placing yourself under the authority that God has put over you. Okay, boys and girls, listen up. Imagine an army of soldiers. Imagine the troops that are all arranged on the front lines in military fashion, and yet they're all under the command of their military officer. That's like what it is to be submissive. It's like a soldier who's going to go out to battle and he's going to place himself under the authority of the chief commander. That's what biblical submission is. It's the attitude and the action of willingly and wholeheartedly respecting, yielding to, and obeying the authority of another. Now, somebody might say, yeah, but that's only maybe in Ephesians 5. Well, no. Ephesians 5:21 talks about being submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Ephesians 5:22 says to submit But listen to Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Listen to 1 Peter 3 in verse 1. You wives, be submissive to your own husbands. In Titus chapter 2, the older women are to encourage and exhort the younger women to do many things, but one of which is to submit to their husbands. So here, the godly wife, the Christian wife, turns over her selfish agenda to live in submission to and for the good of her husband. I'll say it again. The godly wife, the Christian wife, turns over her selfish agenda. Maybe I could put in parentheses, that's a daily work. It doesn't just happen one time, but it's the daily turning over of selfish agenda to live in submission to and for the good of her husband. Another story, boys and girls, listen, when I was living in California, I recall the one and the only time that I've been whitewater rafting. Now, I went up with a pastor friend and some others in our churches, went up to Northern California, and evidently there's numbers for how intense this thing is, and we did a pretty intense one, and I was the novice of all novices at this. I'd never done it before, and I was terrified, because there were all these rapids, and we're going down and around, and I was told that for my good and my safety and for my enjoyment, I had to follow the leader of the raft. Whatever the leader of the raft says, that's what I have to do, or I'm going to fall off and others are going to fall off. And I was so thankful for that instruction and for those in that raft that did follow the leadership of our raft leader so that we did have a good and a profitable time. That's submission. That's submission, placing yourself under the authority of another. So when the Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs is speaking to his congregation, he just said to submit means to keep yourself under. To keep yourself under. That's what it is. To keep yourself under. So what does it mean? In your notes, what does it mean to submit? It means to keep yourself under the authority that God has placed over you. Well, second, in your notes, you have a letter B there, and that's to whom? To whom? And according to Ephesians 5:22, look at it here in your Bible, wives, be subject, very clear, to your own husbands. There's an allegiance here. There's a priority here. You see, Christian wife, your primary relationship, your most important relationship in this world, earthly speaking, is your own husband. Is your own husband. The godly wife must place herself willingly under the authority of her own husband. Not every man in the world, but of her own husband. Even if she's married to a non-believer. Her allegiance must be to him, just as the church's allegiance is to one, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when a wife biblically and when a wife happily submits, it is a wonderful blessing to the husband and an aroma to the Savior. Now, Charles Spurgeon was commenting on this, and he said, a true wife is the husband's better half, his flower of beauty, and his heart's treasure. In her company, he finds his earthly heaven. She is the light of his home and the comfort of his soul. That's what the godly Christian wife is, who submits with a willful, tender, humble heart to her own husband. So we've looked at what submission is, to place yourself under. We've looked, second of all, at to whom, that is to your own husband. But now, let's look at number three here in your notes. Let us see, how do I do this? How? And the answer is, again in verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Christian wife, consider that biblical submission has very little to do with your husband, but it has everything to do with your own heart. The biblical submission has little to do with who he is and what he's doing and how he's responding and how he's initiating and whether or not he's doing what you like. Biblical submission more is about your heart in the relationship. Because in verse 22, there's a little phrase, as to the Lord. It's drawing a comparison. And I think there's a couple of things meant here. Number one, when a woman submits to her husband, she is submitting to her Lord. This is her motive. Her motive is, I want to please God. I want to please God. I'm going to submit to my husband, and in so doing, my motive in this is to please God. But I think, second of all, also included here is a woman should submit to her husband just as she would do to her Lord, meaning the degree. Now, her husband is not God. I get that. I understand that. But in a gentle, in a quiet, with an obedient heart disposition, just as she would to her God. That's the degree of her heart submission to her husband as she would to her Lord. And then I think third, also included here, is a woman should submit to her husband as an act of worship. Not only to please God and to make him happy, but as an act of worship so that she can magnify God. So the Christian wife's motive in serving her husband and helping him and fulfilling him and aiding him is ultimately not just for him, but to please God, to worship God, to delight in God, to obey God. Her degree to which she follows his lead, the degree to which she submits to his headship, and she gently and she humbly submits to his direction, that is the heart disposition that honors her God. So maybe very practically, Christian wife, as you serve your husband in the morning, perhaps, before he goes to work, and you bless him with encouragements and affirmations, and as you encourage his spiritual leadership endeavors, as you minister to his various desires that he might have, you do so even in the small things in life, even in the small areas of ministry, as an act of heartfelt worship to God, even if he notices, and even if he is thankful. You do it as a heart act of worship to God. You know, this brings out, I think, the manner and the attitude of submission. It should be done for the glory of God to please God. And John Bunyan, boys and girls, you know the Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you have been reading the Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, and when he was preaching on this, he said, Christian wife, if you are to submit to your husband, you need to turn away from three things. He said, you have to turn away from a wandering and a gossiping spirit. You have to turn away from a wandering spirit that will slowly abandon the marriage emotionally and gossip about it. But second of all, she said, don't do those things. But second of all, don't be lazy and don't have a contentious tongue. Don't be argumentative or lazy or contentious. And then John Bunyan said, Christian wife, if you are to submit, you must shun all immodest dress and walking in seductiveness in the world. A Christian wife, what a good reminder for all of you. Young girls, a great teaching lesson for all of you. This is how you submit. It's not just doing something. It's your heart attitude of worship to God as you do something. That's what God calls every Christian wife to. So we have seen, first of all, what? What is submission? We've looked at that, to place yourself under. We've looked at to whom. Who do I submit to? That is, to your own husband. Third, how do I do it? As to the Lord, as an act of worship, to please God in all things. But now, number four, letter D in your outline. Do you see that little word, why? Somebody might say, why should I do this? Sometimes we have young children that hear the command and they say, why? Why? I want you to look in your Bible at verse 23. Do you see at the very beginning of verse 23, a little word for? That's the English word for the Greek idea of let me explain why I just said what I said. Here's the reason why. You must submit, Christian wife, to your own husband as to the Lord. But now, why? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ also is the head of the church. Christian wife, why should you do this? Let me tell you something here. What God says, because your husband, your husband is your head. He is your leader. He is your authority. Men, listen real quick. God is not asking you to be the leader. God is not saying, do you want to be a leader? He's not telling you that you might become a leader. Every Christian husband is a leader. The question is, are you a good one or a bad one? But every Christian husband is the leader. He is the head. He is the authority in the home. Notice verse 23 again, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself is the savior of the body. Now, the man is the head over the woman in comparison to Jesus is the head over the church. A turn back just a page to the end of Ephesians chapter 1. You remember this, but at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul is praying, he says that Jesus has been seated in verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is above every name. And not only in this age, but in the one to come. And God put all things in subjection under his feet, and God gave him as head over all things. He's the leader. He's the authority over all things. And God gave him to the church. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 15. Speaking to the body of Christ, Paul says, we are to be speaking the truth in love, and we grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So Jesus is the head of the whole body. Remember Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18, which says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginner, the firstborn from the dead, so that he will have first place in everything. Well, what does that mean, head? It means that Jesus is the leader. He's the authority. This is structure designed by God, that the head of the church is not the Pope. It's not the pastor. It's not an elder. It's not a council of people. It's not popular opinion. The head of the church is Christ alone. And as Jesus is the leader, as he is the head of his church, this is designed by God. Well, in a similar way, the husband is the head of the wife in the context of the marriage. Man's leadership, man's headship, man's authority is rooted in creation. Just remember with me in Genesis chapter 2, when God had made Adam and he said, I'm going to create a helpmate for you. I'm going to create a helper according to your opposite, Genesis 2:18. She is a helper for him. Earlier, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 3, Paul says, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. So there are three parallels there. You've got Christ as the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. This is the leadership, this is the authority that God has designed. This isn't a response to sin. This is God's design before sin ever entered the world. This is God's good and God's perfect design. But somebody in the world might look at this and hear this and say, this is chauvinism. It's not chauvinism, this is creationism. This is not bondage, it's beauty. This is not gross shame. This is God's good design. So, Christian wife, here in this room, young girls, listen carefully. God has designed the wife to be the helper for her husband. Not the leader over her husband, but the helper of her husband. In fact, the way that God puts it in Genesis 2:18 is a helper suitable for your husband, a helper according to the opposite of her husband. She is the helper, the completer, the helpmate to her husband. Somebody might say, well, I don't want to be the helper. I don't want to be just a helper. What a demeaning thing. No. This is not demeaning. This is not shameful. This is not disgraceful. This is not dishonorable. Actually, this is gloriously beautiful. And if I might show you one of the greatest ways that the Bible could ever show you that, Christian wife, your call to be a helper could not be a higher call, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Just keep your finger here in Ephesians, but go back to John chapter 14. Because, Christian wife, I want you to hear this, that there is someone in the Bible who is called a helper. And he's called a helper more than once. He's called a helper many times in John 14 and in John 15 and in John 16. And he's none other than God, the Holy Spirit. So far from you, Christian wife, being the helper for your husband, that's not a bad thing. You're actually fulfilling a role that is very similar to what the Holy Spirit does. Look at John chapter 14 and in verse 16. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever." And you can read that in John 15. Jesus will say the same thing. And then again in John 16, he will say it again four times. The Holy Spirit is, Christian, he's your helper. Christian wife, this is your model. This is your model. This is your example to be a helper. So, Christian wife, here tonight, you can cultivate an attitude of affirming your husband. An attitude of supporting your husband. An attitude of respecting your husband. An attitude of encouraging your husband. A demeanor, an attitude, verbally affirming your husband's leadership in the marriage. And this is nothing new. Even Sarah did this in 1 Peter chapter 3. She submitted to her husband Abraham. She even called him Lord. And yet that was honoring to God. Maybe, Christian wife, as I kind of draw this to a close, Christian wife, when was the last time that you affirmed your husband's leadership? Not just generally, I'm glad that you're the leader of the house. But Christian wife, consider, when was the last time that you thoughtfully and intentionally affirmed your husband's leadership? Do you support his leadership? Really, genuinely, not just outwardly, not just verbally, but even internally, in your heart, where your husband can't fully read it. In your heart, do you support his leadership? Have you asked him how you can support his leadership in a better way or in a more specific way? Or is there a desire that he has where you could support him and be his helper, perhaps in a more specific way? Christian wife, when was the last time that you encouraged your husband specifically and verbally as he has tried to take spiritual leadership in the home? Not perfectly, but his endeavors, his desires to lead you and to lead the children and the grandchildren in prayer and in Bible time and in family worship. Have you thanked him that he leads you by bringing you to corporate worship and the priority of church gathering, hearing the word, responding to the word, singing the word, praying together each week with the church congregation? What a way that he leads. Have you encouraged him in these ways? Verbally affirm and verbally encourage him. A Christian wife, there are so many ways that you can, in application ways, submit to your husband, placing yourself under his leadership. Just a couple of very practical tips, and then we'll draw this to a close. Number one, Christian wife, ask your husband questions and humbly listen. Listen to what he has to say. A Christian wife, some ways that you can submit to your husband are not nagging him like a continual dripping on a very rainy day. That's like a contentious wife, according to Proverbs 27. Another way that a Christian wife could submit to her husband is being quick to respond to a request. What does the husband request? What does your husband want? What does he desire? Make an effort to remember your husband's past requests and desires and seek to fulfill them whenever possible. Another way, Christian wife, that you could just very practically submit to your husband is to speak well of him publicly, especially in front of the children and grandchildren. Look for the occasional opportunity to draw attention to your husband's positive qualities and godly characteristics. Honor him. Honor him with modest beauty and attractiveness that wins his eye in a unique and in a particular way. Christian wife, some practical ways you could submit to your husband are by striving to keep the children in line in the home when he comes home from work, to keep things confidential when he shares heart attitude, his heart desires with you. Struggles at work, struggles relationally, sins that he's battling with. Keeping those confidential, because Proverbs 31, the heart of the husband trusts in her. A Christian wife, another way that you can practically submit to your husband is by spending money wisely, staying within the budget, admiring your husband in non-verbal and in verbal ways, of course. So many ways that we can apply what Paul says here in Ephesians. So, Christian wife, what we have looked at tonight is verse 22 and the beginning of verse 23. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife. So, quick footnote for the men. We've been talking to the women primarily and the wives primarily, but guys, you're the head of your home. You are the leader of your home. That doesn't mean you dominate. Doesn't mean that you're a tyrant. It means that you lead by serving. It means that you lead the way that Jesus led. He washed the feet of his disciples. He loved his own who were in the world to the max. He lavished verbal communication to his bride. He makes promises and he keeps them. He encourages his bride. He leads by providing and protecting and reassuring. These are ways that our bridegroom provides for us. Christian husband, this is how we can lead our wife. Christian men, may the Lord help you. May the Lord help me. Tonight and tomorrow and in days to come, that we would lead our wives well as the head of the home. We're going to come back to this next week and finish the outline with part two on the remaining ways that we can learn of a godly wife's submission. I pulled a book off my shelf that, interestingly enough, I've read quite a number of times and I enjoyed. It's Martha Peace's book, The Excellent Wife. She said this, "The Christian wife's submission may not always be the easiest or the happiest thing to do." But she says to women, "I promise there will always be true joy for the Christian in glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in His ways." Martha Peace then speaks to the women in her book and she says, "I want you to learn that God wants you to walk with Him in joyful biblical submission to your husband." That's what God wants, not just outward duty, but inward heart submission with a glad disposition to your husband, but most of all, to your Lord. Christian wife, all that we have shared tonight and what we'll look at in the next couple of weeks, and then Christian men, what we will see in the weeks after that. I want to remind you that by the grace of God, with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, surrounded by the Church of God, with earnest effort and prayer, Christian wife, you can do this. You can do this. Your outline, I believe, in the very end, just before the songs, has a lengthy quote by a Puritan wife by the name of Margaret Winthrop. She was married to John Winthrop. For a brief season, they were separated because he had to travel to London to deal with a few matters. And I want you to hear this, because here is part of a letter that she, Margaret, wrote to her husband, John. Notice the affection, the tenderness, the love, the submissiveness that just oozes out of this, and we'll be done with this. "Most dear and loving husband, I cannot express my love to you as I desire in these poor, lifeless lines. But I do heartily wish you did see my heart, how true and faithful it is to you, and how much I do desire to be always with you, to enjoy the sweet comforts of your presence and those helps from you in spiritual and temporal duties, which I am so unfit to perform without you. It makes me to see the want of you and wish myself to be with you. And I desire that we may be guided by God in all of our ways, who is able to direct us for the best. And so I will wait upon Him with patience, who is all sufficient for me. Farewell, my sweet husband." What a good example. What a great example of wholehearted submission. Christian wife, the Lord will be your strength. And He will be your stronghold. Young girls, this is a needed message for you in our day, to listen to what God's call for you is one day, as the Lord would have for you to be married. Let's pray.